We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is questions. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.
Welcome. You are listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN. I am your host, Chris Switzer. Today is July 30th on the Gregorian calendar, and I'm going to read to you from the daily devotional book that I read with my family. With all that's going on in the world today, with the digital madness, everything going to credits and carbon this and climate change that, and everything else that they want you to buy into and feed into so that they can just further control you and enslave you into their madness. We need to get back to basics. We need to get back to God. We all need to get back to God. Anything I say to you, I'm speaking to my very self and looking right in the mirror. We all need to get back to basics. So I'm going to read to you from this devotional book here before we get into our show. Worship me in the beauty of holiness. I created beauty to declare the existence of my holy being. A magnificent rose, a hauntingly glorious sunset, oceanic splendor. All these things were meant to proclaim my presence in the world. Most people rush past these proclamations without giving them a second thought. Some people use beauty, especially feminine loveliness, to sell their products. How precious are my children who are awed by nature's beauty? This opens them up to my holy presence. Even before you knew me personally, you responded to my creation with wonder. This is a gift, and it carries responsibility with it. Declare my glorious being to the world. The whole earth is full of my radiant beauty, my glory. And there are a few verses from God's word that we get this devotion from. First of which being Psalms chapter 29, verse 2, which reads, "Give to Yahweh, God, the glory of his name. Bow down to Yahweh in the adornment of holiness." For what others may tell you and say that he has no name, or he's nameless? It's not true. His word tells us that his name is Yahweh. The glory of his name. Bow down to Yahweh. An unchanging God, as we read in Hebrews. Never changing. So when it says all will kneel to Jesus, it means Yahweh. What's said in the Old Testament is verified in the New, and back and forth, vice versa. There are two covenants, and they only strengthen each other. One does not die out with the new. And the next we have the verse from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. There is none holy like Yahweh. Nay, there is none except thee, nor is there a rock like our God. Solid is your foundation in God. And the third verse comes from the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament, chapter 6, verse 3. And they continued crying out to one another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The fullness of the whole earth is his glory. So the fullness of the whole earth is God's glory. All this stuff with climate change. First it was global warming. Then they talked about an ice age. It's just madness. Madness. How arrogant can man be to think that he can somehow control the tides or control the earth in any way, shape, or form. We're told to be stewards and have dominion, but we're not God. We are not God. And that is the wicked lie that they teach in every temple in the world. Whether they call it Rosicrucianism, Freemasonry, Judaism, the New Age, this or that, whatever they're calling it, in those temples without windows, in the back room, in secret, they will teach you that you too can become God and propel yourself above the others. Because of our truths and our secrets that we'll teach you. But you must spit upon the cross, deny Christ, and you will be on your way. And it's a lie. It's a wicked lie. I've been reading from William Guy Carr's book, Pawns in the Game, published in 1958. And last week, I had some technical difficulties with my equipment, so I do have it backed up on my phone as well, which it seems like I'm going to have to go to, because we're just going to read right from my phone. It's no problem. Plan B. We're reading from chapter 4, and the title of the chapter is The Downfall of Napoleon. The international bankers planned the French Revolution so they could become the secret power behind the governments of Europe and further their long-range plans. With the outbreak of the Revolution, the Jacobins took over control. They were men who had been picked by the Illuminati and Grand Orient Masonry. They used the Duc d'Orléans to serve their purpose, right up to the time he was required to vote for the death of his cousin, the king. The Duke believed he would be made the constitutional monarch, but the Jacobins had other instructions. Once he had voted for the death of the king and assumed the blame, he left the real plotters free from suspicion. Then those who comprised the secret power behind the revolution ordered him liquidated also. And that goes for all of you who are complicit in this Jew world order, this new world order machination, whether you're a law enforcement officer, correctional officer, part of the courts, part of the big corporations, pharmaceutical, hospitals. If you're playing a wicked role thinking that you're going to get some benefit in the end, or you're going to be better off for it, think again. You're expendable. Go to God. Whatever you do in all your endeavors, go to God and do what's right. You will either benefit from it or you will suffer. You reap what you sow. They switched the full force of their propaganda and la infamy against him. In an unbelievably short time, he was on his way to the guillotine. While riding over the cobblestones on the death cart, he heard himself reviled and execrated by all classes of the people. Once Mirabeau realized what a terrible instrument of vengeance he had helped to bring into being, he repented. Wild and dissolute as he had been, he just couldn't stomach witnessing the terrible and shocking atrocities which the Jacobins were systematically perpetrating on all those who were fingered for outrage and death by their secret masters. Mirabeau was actually opposed to any violence being done to the king. His personal plan had been to reduce Louis XVI to a limited monarch and then have himself appointed as chief advisor. When he realized that his masters were determined to kill the king, he tried to arrange for Louis to escape from Paris so he could place himself under the protection of his loyal generals who still commanded his army. When his plans were betrayed to the Jacobins, Mirabeau was ordered liquidated also. In his case, a public execution could not be arranged because his enemies did not consider they had time to frame charges against him and make them stick. So he was poisoned. His death was made to look like suicide. A book was written about the diamond necklace already referred to, which we read last week. In it is the significant remark, quote, Louis was not ignorant of the fact that Mirabeau had been poisoned, end quote. Danton and Robespierre were the two devils incarnates who stepped up the reign of terror designed by the Illuminati to give them revenge upon their enemies and to remove personages they considered obstacles in their path. Yet, when they had served their purpose, their two chief executioners were arrested and charged with their many infamies and then executed themselves. Lafayette was a Mason. He was a good man. He joined the revolutionary forces because he honestly believed revolutionary action was necessary to bring about much-needed reforms speedily. But Lafayette never thought for a moment he was leading the people of France from their old oppression into new subjection. When he tried to save the king, he was packed off to fight a war in Austria. Since the French Revolution of 1789, up to the revolutions going on today, the secret power behind them have used many Duc d'Orléans, Mirabeaus, and Lafayettes. And think of those they use today. Bill Gates, Tony Fauci, Joe Biden, all of them, all of them, they're expendable. And one of those goes down and the same one replaces them. It doesn't matter what their perceived or public policies, politics, religious aspirations, all of it is garbage. Stop listening and reading and start watching. What do they do? What are their actions? What are their deeds? It's all biblical. judge a tree by its fruit. Right? Yes, my friends. Actions will tell you everything. Although the men have borne different names, they have all been used as tools and played similar parts. They have been used to foment the revolutions, and after having served their purpose, they have been liquidated by the very men they served. Their deaths are always so arranged that they die under a blanket of guilt, which should rightfully have covered the shoulders of the men who still remain the secret power behind the scenes in international intrigue. Sir Walter Scott understood a great deal about how the secret power behind the French Revolution worked. Any person who reads his Life of Napoleon will sense that the author thought he detected the Jewish origin of the plots. Sir Walter points out that the real key figures in the revolution were mostly foreigners. He observed that they used typically Jewish terms, such as directors and elders, in their work. He points out that a man named Manuel was in some mysterious manner appointed procurer of the commune. Sir Walter states that this one man was responsible for the arrest and detention in prisons all over France of the victims of the prearranged massacres which took place in September 1792. During the massacres, 8,000 victims were murdered in the prisons of Paris alone. Sir Walter also noted that the Communaut de Paris, the Paris County Council, became the Sanhedrin of the Jacobins, who cried for blood and more blood. Huh, that's reminiscent of the Pharisees and the Herodians and the Jews of that time calling for the blood of Jesus Christ and putting that blood on their children's heads and hands. That wicked curse. Scott relates that until they had served their purpose, Robespierre, Danton, and Marat shared the high places in the synagogue of the Jacobins, the synagogue of Satan, my friends. It was Manuel who sparked the attack against King Louis and Marie Antoinette, which finally led them to the guillotine. Manuel was well supported by a man named David, who, as a leading member of the Committee of Public Security, tried Manuel's many victims. David's voice always called for blood and death. Sir Walter records that David used to preface his bloody work of the day with the professional phrase, "Let us grind enough of the red." It was David who introduced the cult of the supreme being. The heathen ritual was Kabbalistic mummery, which was substituted for every external sign of rational devotion. Scott also mentions that Choderlos de Laclos, thought to have been a Spanish origin, was manager of the Palace Royal, which played such a devilish part in the preparations for the outbreak of the revolution, and we read about that in the previous chapter. Another matter of importance is this. After Robespierre had been ordered liquidated, two men named Rubel and Gohier were appointed directors of the Council of Elders, or the new Sanhedrin, the Jewish Control Center. With three others, they became the actual government of France for a time. The five men referred to were known as the Directors. We'll be right back after the break, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up. Do not attempt.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt.
Welcome back. You're still listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN. I am your host, Chris Switzer. And if you wish to see my work online, you're new to the radio show, or you're just interested in more, please check out my work while it's still there at bitchute.com, spelled bitchute.com/ The Freedom Ministry. The Freedom Ministry. I have quite a bit of content up there, and if you go through it, you will get a keen understanding of what's going on in the world today and who is behind this madness. We're reading now from the book William Guy Carr wrote, Pawns in the Game, published in 1958. And we were reading of the directors of the Council of Elders in France at the time, behind the French Revolution. The five men referred to were known as the Directoires. It is a very remarkable fact that Sir Walter Scott's Life of Napoleon, in 9 volumes, which reveals so much of the real truth, is practically unknown. Mention must be made of G. Renier's Life of Robespierre. He writes as if some of the secrets were known to him. He says, quote, from April 27th to July 28th, 1794, when Robespierre was defeated, the Reign of Terror was at its height. It was never a dictatorship of a single man, least of all Robespierre. Some 20 men shared in the power, end quote. Then again, quote, on July 28th, Robespierre made a long speech before the convention, a philippic against ultra-terrorists, during which he uttered vague and general accusations, end quote. Robespierre is quoted to have said, I dare not name them at this moment and in this place. I cannot bring myself entirely to tear asunder the veil that covers this profound mystery of iniquity. But I can affirm most positively that among the authors of this plot are the agents of that system of corruption and extravagance, the most powerful of all the means invented by the foreigners for the undoing of the Republic. I mean the impure apostles of atheism and the immorality that is its base, end quote. Mr. Reynier added, quote, had he, Robespierre, not spoken these words, he might still have triumphed. Robespierre had said too much. Jack Kennedy said too much. History repeats itself over and over and over. There is nothing new under the sun, folks. We must learn from history, or we are damned to repeat it. He was deliberately shot in the jaw to silence him effectively until he could be dragged to the guillotine the following day. Thus another Mason who knew too much was disposed of. As the events which led up to the Russian and Spanish revolutions are reviewed, it will be shown that the hidden revolutionary section of the Illuminati within the Grand Orient Lodges of Continental Freemasonry was the instrument of the men who constituted the secret power behind the world revolutionary movement. Thousands of individuals are publicly blamed, and many organizations brought into disrepute simply because it was within the power of the secret leaders of the world revolutionary movement to saddle them with the blame for their crimes and thus conceal their own identity. There are not many people living today who know that Robespierre, Marat, and Danton were only the instruments used by the 13 directors of the Illuminati who plotted and directed the Great French Revolution. It was the men behind the scene who preconceived the pattern of the Reign of Terror as the means of gratifying their desire for revenge. Only during a Reign of Terror could they remove human obstacles from their path. Having run out of victims, the men who directed the French Revolution decided to engage in international intrigue again. For the purpose of increasing their economic and political power, Anselm Meyer Rothschild trained his son Nathan Meyer for the special purpose of opening up a House of Rothschild in London, England. And to this day, that is still the financial center of this Jew world order. His intention was to consolidate, more strongly than ever, the connections between the men who controlled the Bank of England and those who controlled the banks of France, Germany, and Holland. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back after the break.
Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question! The comfort you've demanded is now
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up. Do not attempt.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN. I am your host, Chris Switzer. We're reading from the book, Pawns in the Game, by William Guy Carr. I will continue reading. We were discussing the downfall of Napoleon. Napoleon. And the Bank of Rothschild being set up to control the banks of France, Germany, and Holland, along with the Bank of England. Nathan undertook this important task at the age of 21. He tripled his fortune. The bankers then decided to use Napoleon as the instrument of their will. They organized Napoleonic Wars to topple several more of the crowned heads of Europe. After Napoleon swept over Europe, he pronounced himself emperor in 1804. He appointed his brother Joseph king of Naples, Louis, king of Holland, Jerome, king of Westphalia. At the same time, Nathan Rothschild arranged matters so that his four brothers became the kings of finance in Europe. They were the secret power behind the newly established thrones. The international moneylenders set up headquarters in Switzerland. It was agreed between them that in their interests and for their security, Switzerland should be kept neutral in all disputes. In their Swiss headquarters at Geneva, they organized the different combines and cartels on an international scale. They arranged things so that no matter who fought who, or who won and who lost, the members of the international moneylenders pool made more and more money. This group of men soon obtained control of the munition plants, the shipbuilding industry, the mining industry, chemical plants, drug supply depots, steel mills, etc. The only fly in the ointment was the fact that Napoleon grew more and more egotistical until he finally had the temerity to denounce them publicly. Thus, he also decided his own fate. It was not the weather nor the cold that turned his victorious invasion of Russia into one of the most tragic military defeats the world has ever known. The failure of munitions and supplies to reach his armies was due to the sabotaging of his lines of communications. The secret strategy used to defeat Napoleon and force his abdication has been accepted as essential for all revolutionary efforts since that date. It is very simple. The leaders of the revolutionary movement arranged to place their agents secretly in key positions in the departments of supply, communication, transport, and intelligence of the armed forces they planned to overthrow. By sabotaging supplies, intercepting orders, issuing contradictory messages, tying up or misrouting transports, and by counterintelligence work, revolutionary leaders have discovered they can create utter chaos in the most efficient military organization, on land, at sea, or in the air. 10 cells secretly placed in key positions are worth 10,000 men in the field. The methods used to bring Napoleon to ruin in the early part of the 19th century were used to bring about the defeat of the Russian armies in the war against Japan in 1904, and again to cause mutiny in the Russian armies in 1917, and mutiny in the German army and navy in 1918. Communist infiltration into key positions was the real reason the German generals asked for and were granted an armistice in November 1918. The same methods were used to destroy the effectiveness of the Spanish Army, Navy, and Air Force in 1936. Exactly the same tactics were used to bring about the defeat of Hitler after his victorious advances into Russia in World War II. Thus, history repeats itself because the same powers used the same methods over and over again. But most important of all, it was the descendants of the men who brought about Napoleon's downfall, who brought about the defeat of China's national forces in 1945 and onwards. Mysterious orders were given, which caused millions upon millions of dollars worth of arms and ammunition to be dumped into the Indian Ocean when they should have gone to Chiang Kai-shek. The true story of the manner in which British and American politicians betrayed our anti-communist Chinese and Korean allies will prove that it was the agents of the international bankers maneuvering to let communism obtain control of Asia who deceived and ill-advised our top-level statesmen. Communism is today what it has always been since 1773. The instrument of destruction and the manual of action used by the international arch conspirators to further their own secret plans by which, in the final analysis, they intend to obtain control of the wealth, natural resources, and manpower of the entire world. History records how Napoleon was forced to abdicate in Paris in 1814. Then he was sent into exile on St. Elba. He escaped and tried to make a comeback, but he was playing against men who used loaded die. Nathan Rothschild, and his international clique had backed Germany to defeat Napoleon. They had planned to make money regardless of the outcome of the struggle. When the Battle of Waterloo was about to be fought, Nathan Rothschild was in Paris. He had obtained, as his place of residence, a palace which overlooked that occupied by Louis XVIII. He could, when he wished, look right into the window of the palace occupied by the aspirant to the throne of France. He had arranged also to have agents on the field of battle dispatched to him by carrier pigeon information regarding the fighting. Nathan Rothschild also arranged to have false information sent to England by carrier pigeons regarding the results of the battle. Once he was sure Wellington had been victorious, he had his agents inform the British public that Wellington had been defeated and that Napoleon was on the rampage again. The fact that carrier pigeons played such an important role in this conspiracy gave birth to the expression, "A little bird told me." If a person in England asked another, "Where did you get that information?" the person questioned will most likely say, "Oh, a little bird told me," and let it go at that. Nathan Rothschild's little birds told lies of such magnitude regarding the Battle of Waterloo that the people of Britain went into a panic. The bottom dropped out of the stock market. English pounds could be bought for a song or a shilling. Values of everything fell to an all-time low. Nathan chartered a small vessel for the sum of £2,000 to take him from France to England. Upon arrival, he and his financial associates bought up all the stocks, bonds, shares, and other properties and securities they could get their hands on. When the truth regarding Wellington's victory became known, values returned to normal. The international moneylenders made astronomical fortunes. Why they were not assassinated by some of the people they ruined is beyond comprehension. As a token of their joy and gratitude for the marvelous feat of arms performed by Wellington and Blücher, the Rothschilds loaned England £18 million and Prussia $5 million of this ill-gotten gain to repair the damages of war. When Nathan Rothschild died in 1836, he had secured control of the Bank of England and the national debt, which, after his big financial killing in 1815, reached £885 million. It is most unlikely that one Freemason in 1,000 knows the true story of how the heads of the Grand Orient Illuminati infiltrated their agents into continental Freemasonry. Because the facts related are the truth, the Grand Masters of English Freemasons have warned their brother Masons that they must have no truck with the Grand Orient Masons or affiliate with them in any way. The fact that the revolutionary Illuminati established itself within continental Freemasonry caused Pope Pius IX to publicly denounce communism and prohibit Catholics from becoming Masons. To convince any reader who may still have doubts regarding the part Freemasonry played in the French Revolution, part of a debate which took place on the subject in the French Chamber of Deputies in 1904 will be quoted. The Marquis of Rosambe, after some searching questions related to proving French Freemasonry was the author of the French Revolution, said, quote, "We are then in complete agreement on the point that Freemasonry was the only author of the revolution, and the applause which I receive from the left, and to which I am little accustomed, proves, gentlemen, that you acknowledge with me that it was Masonry which made the French Revolution." To this statement, M. Jumel, a well-known Grand Orient Mason, replied, quote, "We do more than acknowledge it. We proclaim it," end quote. In 1923, at a big banquet attended by many men prominent in international affairs, some of whom were connected with the League of Nations organization, the president of the Grand Orient gave this toast, quote, "To the French Republic, daughter of free Freemasonry, French Freemasonry, excuse me, to the Universal Republic of Tomorrow, daughter of Universal Masonry. Ecumenism. Everybody, just go along to get along. Become what we want you to be, and we'll give you stuff. Benefits. Privilege. Hogwash. Tyranny. Slavery. Death. To prove that the Grand Orient Freemasons have controlled French politics from 1923 onwards, a brief review of historical events will be given. The most important victory, the international bankers gained after their agents had acted as advisors to the political leaders who devised and finally ratified the infamous Treaty of Versailles, was to have M. Harriet elected to power in France in 1924. Every political policy dictated by the heads of Grand Orient Freemasonry in 1923 was put into effect by the Harriet government within a year. Number one. In January 1923, the Grand Orient Lodges decreed the suppression of the embassy to the Vatican. The French Parliament carried out this order October 24, 1924. Number two. In 1923, the Grand Orient Lodges demanded the triumph of the idea of laicity. This is the primary principle essential to the establishment of the Grand Orient's ideology of an atheistic state. Harriet made his public ministerial declaration in favor of this policy June 17, 1924. Number three. On January 31, 1923, the Grand Orient Lodges demanded a full and complete amnesty for condemned persons and traitors. Several prominent communist leaders were to benefit, among them Marty, who afterwards became notorious as the organizer of the International Brigades, which fought on the communist side in Spain, 1936 to 39. The Chamber of Deputies voted for a general amnesty July 15, 1924, and thus turned loose on an unsuspecting society a number of international gangsters whose master was the Supreme Council of Grand Orient Masonry, the Illuminati. Number four. In October 1922, the Grand Orient Lodges had started a campaign to popularize the idea that diplomatic relations be opened with the Soviet government as established in Moscow. This movement didn't get very far until the election of M. Harriet to power. This Friendship with Russia campaign was started in France when the Bulletin Official de la Grande Loge de France published an article on the subject in the October issue of 1922 on page 286. Political relations were established with the communist revolutionary leaders by Harriet on October 28, 1924. The same forces of evil are advocating the recognition of Red China today. And this, my friends, could have been written today. There is nothing new under the sun. One of the leaders of the Grand Orient at this time was Leon Blum. He was being primed to become a political instrument ready to do the bidding of his leaders. High-ranking members of the military lodges in Spain, who defected after they found out they were being used as tools by the leaders of the World Revolutionary Movement, disclosed that every Grand Orient Mason was required to take an oath of unlimited obedience to the head of the Council of 33 and to recognize no human as above him. An oath of this kind, taken by an avowed atheist, literally means that he recognized the state as above everything else, and the head of the state as his god. A great deal of detail about Grand Orient intrigue in France and Spain from 1923 to 1939 is told in The Spanish Arena, written by William Foss and Cecil Garrity, and published by the Wright Book Club in London, England in 1939. To establish continuity of the international bankers' plot, it is sufficient to touch on just a few highlights. Leon Blum was born in Paris in 1872 of Jewish parents. He was noted for the part he played in the Dreyfus Affair. He was elected French premier June 1936. He retained his office until June 1937. He was re-elected in March and remained until April 1937. His supporters managed to get him back into politics as vice premier June 1937 to January 1938. Mendes, France is being used the same way today. During the whole of this time, Léon Blum's task was to mold French government policy so that it would aid the plans of the leaders of the World Revolutionary Movement in regard to Spain. In order to throw suspicion away from themselves, the arch conspirators made it appear that it was Franco and his military associates who were the planners and plotters of the events which led up to the civil war in Spain. It is now proved that Stalin and his revolutionary experts, the Comintern, were the conspirators who carried out the plans of the secret power behind the World Revolutionary Movement. They planned to duplicate what they had achieved in both the French Revolution in 1789 and the Russian Revolution in 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution. As early as 1929, M. Gustav pointed out in his paper, La Victoire, the truth regarding Léon Blum and his associates. He had the courage to declare, quote, the collectivist party of Léon Blum, the second branch of Freemasonry, is not only anti-religious, but a party of class war and of social revolution, end quote. Léon Blum put into effect the plans of the leaders of the World Revolutionary Movement to supply Spanish loyalists with arms, munitions, and finances. He was instrumental in keeping the Pyrenees open, but he followed a one-sided policy of non-intervention. It only applied to the nationalists of Franco's forces. Evidence is produced in the chapters dealing with the revolution in Spain to prove that the French and Spanish Grand Orient Lodges were the line of communications between the directors of the World Revolutionary Movement and their agents in Moscow, Madrid, and Vienna. Should the reader think too much importance is being placed on the influence of Grand Orient Masonry, as on international affairs, A.G. Mickel, author of La Dictature de la Franc-Masonnerie sur la France, gives evidence to prove that the Grand Orient of France decreed in 1924 to make the League of Nations, quote, an international tool for Freemasonry, end quote. Trotsky wrote in his book to Stalin, quote, today there is a Tower of Babel at the service of Stalin, and one of its principal centers is Geneva, that hotbed of intrigue, end quote. The importance of what Trotsky says lies in the fact that the accusations he made regarding the evil influence of Grand Orient Masons within the League of Nations applies equally to the bad influence they have in the United Nations today. The student who studies today's happenings in the United Nations will see their handiwork, especially in regard to strange policies which just don't make sense to the average man in the street. But these strange policies become extremely clear if we study them to see how they will further the long-range plan of the World Revolutionary Movement. To do this, we only have to remember one or two important facts. First, that the Illuminati consider it necessary to destroy all existing forms of constitutional government, regardless of whether they be monarchy or republic. Second, they intend to introduce a world dictatorship just as soon as they consider they are securely in position to usurp absolute control. M.J. Marquez Rebier had this to say, quote, the center of international Freemasons is at Geneva. The offices of the International Masonic Association are at Geneva. This is the meeting place of delegates of nearly all forms of Masonry throughout the world. The interpretation of the League and the IMA is easy, apparent, and confessed. End quote. One can well understand the exclamation in 1924 by Brother Barsha, past Grand Master of the Spanish Grand Orient at the Convent of the Grand Orient when he returned from Geneva. Quote, I have assisted at the work of the commissions. I have heard Paul Boncour, Jehot, Lochor, de Juvenal. All the French had the same spirit, Beside me were representatives of American Freemasons, and they asked each other, "Are we in a secular assembly or a Masonic order?" Brother Joseph Evanel is the Secretary General of the League. It is well to remember that the International Illuminati chose Geneva as their headquarters nearly a century before the above event was recorded. They had, in accordance with their policy, kept Switzerland a neutral nation in all international disputes because they had to have one place where they could meet and instruct their agents who were doing their bidding and carrying out the secret policies. The United States government refused to join the League of Nations. Certain interests promoted the isolationist policy. The secret powers were determined to exploit those who honestly supported the idea of a one-world form of supergovernment to assure peace and prosperity. They determined to wreck the League of Nations and substitute the United Nations. World War II gave them this opportunity. In 1946, the remnants of the League of Nations were picked up and used in the quilted pattern of the United Nations, which included the USSRs and the USA as the two most powerful members. The fact that the United Nations gave Israel to the political Zionists, which they had been after for half a century, and on the advice of these same said men, turned over China, Northern Korea, Manchuria, Mongolia, the Dutch East Indies, and parts of Indochina to communist leaders, proves how successfully the secret powers laid, carried out, and executed their plans. It must be remembered that Lenin predicted that the forces of communism would, in all probability, sweep over the Western world from the East. People who study the Mercator's projection of the world fail to understand how the nations of the Far East could sweep over the nations of the Western world like a tidal wave. To those who study global war, Lenin's statements are as clear as crystal. What is even more important, when Lenin had outlived his usefulness, he died or was removed. Few people can understand how it was that Stalin, by a few ruthless, murderous moves, removed all those who, by reason of their activities in the Russian Revolution, were considered better qualified for leadership in the USSRs and usurped power for himself. Those who study the World Revolutionary Movement, from the evidence presented in this book, will understand why Stalin was chosen to follow Lenin. The old joint stock company principle was being put into effect again. American and British intelligence officers had exposed the part the international bankers had played in the Russian Revolution to their governments. In April 1919, the British government had issued a white paper on the subject. It was quickly suppressed, but a certain amount of damage had been done. The international bankers had been accused of financing international Jewry to put their plans for an international dictatorship into effect. The international bankers had to find some means of countering these impressions and ideas. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back after the break. Stay tuned.
Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question! The comfort you've demanded is now...
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.